Welcome back to day nine of the Creative Work Hour podcast. We are taking part in National Podcast Post Month, and today is November the 9th, day nine. Being the weekend, I thought we might switch gears and try something a little bit fun. So I asked AI to come up with some interesting questions about creativity. One of the ones that came up and I like is, if creativity had a scent, what would your creative process smell like? So, anyone have a thought on that? If creativity had a scent, what would your creative process smell like?
Burnt rubber.
What was that, Michael?
Burnt rubber.
Got that burnt rubber, the moving parts, friction, and yeah, that's it. Anyone else? Anything else on burnt rubber? Any advances on burnt rubber?
I think mine would go ahead.
That's much more dramatic than what I was going to say. I was going to say sandalwood.
Oh, I like sandalwood.
Oh, only because for me, there's a psycho-emotional connection with being in the Middle East and all the triggering experiences that went on for many years when I lived there. So sandalwood kind of has that ping to it.
Not to mention, sandalwood is much easier to find at Yankee Candle than burnt rubber, which they're always selling out of that one.
Yeah, so if anyone's looking for a niche idea, maybe burnt rubber candles would be a thing
Yes.
in the future. Creative Work Hour brand.
I like it. For me, it would be the smell. I don't know if they even sell them anymore, but when I was a kid, you would build your little model airplane or car or whatever it was. And then there would be these little paints. I can't remember the brand, but they're little bitty paint bottles. And those would be the paints that you would buy to paint your model, whatever colors it was supposed to be. And I can so vividly remember the smell of those paints. I'm sure they were toxic. This was the 70s, but that's to me creativity. Creating the model and painting it and making it look like the box, that was a very creative process. So that sort of evokes a creative feeling in me.
When you were talking about the models, and I thought at first you were going to say the adhesive that came in them, and I was struggling to answer that, and I thought that could be my answer, the glue, but then that could have been just the fumes that made me think that way. Anyone else? What would your creative process smell like? Adrian, do you have one?
Yeah, I was thinking mine is freshly baked chocolate chip cookies coming out the oven. Because, you get the dough and you get the cookie dough. Well, being young, it's nostalgia. You got it out of the Pillsbury thing because we're cheap. And you slice it up and then you put it in. It's kind of like, you're trying to go through the process, but you're kind of like, it's kind of, it doesn't seem as fun or as fancy. But then once you're done at the end of the process, you see what you created and it comes out, those freshly baked cookies, just the feeling you get of this like nostalgia but accomplishment but happiness that now you can't wait to like dive in and taste that cookie.
I
So it's
like
like that smell that you just can't wait to anticipate, when it comes out.
that. I think roasting coffee would be great as well. That kind of invokes creativity. And probably for Michael, croissants, I'm imagining. But I'm not sure in which order. Croissants and coffee or coffee and croissants? Or does it matter?
Coffee would be great for somebody who has a very very complex creative process, because if you are a coffee snob, it's a lot of process before you actually get your cup of coffee.
I've tried roasting
Are
my
you
own. It's a very messy process. The unroasted coffee beans, they look like lentils, are kind of green in color, and they stay inert for a long time. And when you roast them, they crack. They give two cracks. It's like popcorn popping. You have to wait for the second crack. But the chaff, the husks, they go everywhere. But some people will use a hot air popcorn popper to roast them in. And it's a whole science to it, but it's the best tasting coffee I've ever had, even though I burnt it on my first time. Staying with the Saturday theme, if you could taste colors, how would your creative process change? Would it change? Oh, these are some kind of crazy questions, but it is the weekend, so play along. Yes.
Greg, could you say that again, please?
Yes. How would your creative process change if you could taste colors?
Taste coals, did you say?
Colors, like the color
Well,
blue.
if you could taste colors.
Yes.
Well, that's like people who have synesthesia, right? And
Synesthesia.
synesthesia where the brain pathways cross, and so they smell colors or they taste, language, or all of their synapses are very different, and so their experiences are different. I live in Mexico and it's very colorful. And I have to say that I have noticed that the more colorful a place is, the more slightly dampened my taste is. That's my only comment on that. But because I think our visual cortexes are so stimulated by the color and the flowers and the people, and there's so many sensory stimulations happening. And I just go out to eat and I think, well, that's nice. But of course, this could just totally be my chemistry. I get that. But I really know, and I'm very aware of the fact that my visual side of my brain is more triggered than the taste side of my brain in this environment.
And I'd not heard of synesthesia, so you heard it here first. Thanks for that, Doreen. If you could taste in colors.
Well, here's a take on that. And I know Alessandra would share that if she was here, but she was at a color conference and she actually got to meet one of the speakers who was the first, at least he claims to be the first actual cyborg, where he had a radio antenna implanted in his brain and it sort of curves out forward because he's absolutely completely colorblind. And so this antenna creates a sound for every color. And so it signals his brain. And I don't remember how the spectrum worked, but I guess high sound, high frequency, low sound, low frequency, but he knows the sound of every color in the spectrum beyond what we could normally see. And so she got to talk to him a bit afterwards. It was absolutely fascinating, as well as a little distracting that you're talking to somebody with an antenna sticking out of their head. But it just changed your perspective of how we perceive our environment.
I'm fascinated by this because my daughter just got news that she and her husband both have the achromaphasia. They each have that, and that is what that kind of person is born with. They're people who, and there's certain genes, and when they're duplicated in a couple, there's 1 in 4 chance that you will be born like that person with the antenna. And they see everything either in grays, or they don't have the same sort of depth perception. And so I am so happy to hear that there's already some sort of measure in place or some sort of amelioration for that, because that's hard. And young couples are now dealing with these sorts of things because they're, looking at the genetics.
Just after watching how one's going past keying a radio up, amateur radio, something like green, red, now blue, yellow, pink. Adrian, did you have a thought on that?
Actually, I was thinking about something is like, so I like have depression. And so one of the things is like, I think even Jay Shetty said it on his podcast about there's research done about eating certain colored foods that will help your depression. And that's eating yellow or orange colored foods. So if I had to change my creative process, I want it to something that would help my depression instead of getting me into an episode of my creative process. So I'd probably say it would be like either yellow or that orange color.
That's interesting.
100% what Adrian said. Yeah. I mean, I think when you said ask this question, Greg, I thought jelly beans. And I would just be eating, and I still could eat yellow and orange jelly beans because when you say what does color taste like, all I can go to is jelly beans. So no licorice, no licorice for me, but yellow and orange and pink. Yes, those would be my go-to color tasting to help my creativity.
That's brilliant. I'd not heard of the what Adrian was saying about I have depression. I have treatment-resistant depression. So I've tried a lot of different things over the years, different medications and procedures, but I've not heard of the different color foods, but it makes perfect sense, doesn't it? And mental health, depression, anxiety, creativity, they are all kind of interwoven. Some of the most prolific creators, some of the most genius creators. In fact, genius as well. They say there's a fine line between genius and insanity. You've got to be out there to create. So, what about if you could only create while I'm giving some doozies here. If you could only create while you're floating in zero gravity, how would creativity change? Zero gravity. That's the only time you can create when you're in zero gravity. And you could have some jelly beans, Devon.
Seems
That
like
does
an
not appeal to me.
opportunity. What?
Sorry.
No.
I like to be stuck to the earth. I quite like the magnetic force that's keeping me on the planet. I don't feel very good when I'm thrown into things like roller coasters and stuff like that, or have big turbulence on an airplane. Zero gravity for me is just a lack of, I need sensory input. I need my senses to be, I need to be recording something. And so, even those chambers when they put you in and they lock you inside with, there's a light and it's supposed to be so
Yeah.
relaxing. No, get me out. So that's a very, we all have an instrument and each of us is so unique and different that it's fascinating the responses, but mine is just hell no.
What was yours, Devin?
I can't help but think Jackson Pollock. I think I would have to go to some sort of visual creativity, like, because you could get the little dots to hang there. You could almost design, then you run at them with your canvas, charge, fly into the, I don't know how you get going on those things. Maybe you have jet propulsion, but it seems like a great opportunity for some sort of visual art to be zero gravity.
Adrian, any thoughts on that?
Well, I'm an electrical engineer, so I'm gonna take it to physics. So a physics perspective is that gravity is just the force of the earth. That's basically, it's the force of what's coming up from like the earth down onto you. And then also the force that's pushing up from the ground from the earth's core. So you're constantly getting pressure all the time. You just don't realize it. So if you're in weightless gravity, all that pressure would be gone. So I feel like I would have a lot. I think my anxiety would be better. I'd have lower anxiety, and I wouldn't have all that weight on my shoulders. I think I'd feel like from the force of gravity against the two forces that are going all the time when you're on Earth, right? So if you just had none of that, I feel like I'd be freer to be able to really explore more.
That's great. I was thinking, how would I answer this question myself? And I was listening to, that's a great perspective. And on that, the pressure, the forces, I have chronic pain. And when the weather changes, I think it's the barometric pressure that does it. You know, the old housewife's tale, oh, the weather, I can feel the weather changing in my bones. But I think there is something to that. And I think it's the barometric pressure. But I was also thinking about, well, if there was no gravity, would thoughts, creativity be freer to float? Would they be less tethered, would they float freer? Would they kind of rise up? Then I was also thinking, well, when Doreen was saying about being kind of tethered or having the, would they float off into free space? Do you need that gravity to kind of keep them from running away with you? So that's kind of interesting. Yeah, I just thought I wanted to mix it up a little bit. We've actually done our 15 minutes. Can you believe that? 15 minutes talking about those three things. Any thoughts on any of those things or anything else? If not, we will knock it on the head, as they do say. Okay, well, thank you for tuning in to the Creative Workout podcast. If you have a question that you'd like the crew to discuss or you would like to hear some conversation about, send us an email to me at creativeworkhour.com and check out the website. Come back again tomorrow. We'll be here. Thank you.